The Denver Broncos drop a very disappointing game on the road against the Carolina Panthers to drop to 3-8 on the season. The offense, could it get any worse? Yes, it did. The defense struggles in back-to-back games. What is going on there? Has the war of attrition finally set in for this Broncos team? Plus, could they make a move from Nathaniel Hackett after this week? We dive into that and much more in today's brand new episode, Locked On Broncos.
You are Locked On Broncos. Your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome into a brand new episode of Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Another Sunday, another Broncos loss, this time on the road as they dropped to 3-8 on the season. Just want to say thank you so much to everybody in Broncos country for tuning in and making Locked On Broncos your first listen of the day, every single day through the ups and the downs. We appreciate you from the South Stands to the end zone. I'm your host, as always, Cody Rourke, Broncos reporter from Mile High Sports, joined alongside, as always, by my co-host, Sarah Bettinger, site expert, predominantly orange.com. Sarah, my friend, same old story here with this Broncos football team, except we ask ourselves the questions, I feel like, every single week. Can the Broncos offense get any worse? And quite frankly, Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers, they answered that question with a resounding yes. And unfortunately, they dropped a 3-8 on the season. This, I think going into it, this might be one of the worst losses in Broncos franchise history, considering where the expectations are, right? I know that's a bold statement to make. I'm saying is, considering the expectations of where we thought this team would be, this loss and how they performed, very, very disappointing, my friend. And, you know, it all starts with the offense here once again.
It does. I mean, the offense is fully to blame for where the team is at right now, Cody. It's frustrating. It's dejecting. It's, you know, it's sad. It's sad to watch. You know, you watch the first half, you see even when a spark of something happens, right? The Latavius Murray big run. Finally, the Broncos, I think that's their first run this entire season, over 20 yards. So you finally get to see a big running play and Latavius Murray looking explosive out there. And then all of a sudden, you know, the strip sack from Brian Burns, and it's like, well, we can't do anything. And then you get the ball back and you move the ball down the field quickly. You get the ball into scoring range, like Russell Wilson getting pressured all day, heaves up a pass that Cortland Sutton somehow comes down with, and you get into Brandon McManus field goal range right before halftime. And what happens? He misses the field goal. I mean, you just can't write this, like, you couldn't write the script any more sad than you have. If you were to have like a comedy writer, like a show writer, come in and be like, all right, here's the situation. I want you to write the end of the situation. It's just funny at this point. It's not funny, but it's like somebody's playing a joke on the Broncos of being like, oh yeah, watch this here. They're even going to get an opportunity for an onside kick later in the game. And the offense is going to go, you know, four and out. So, I mean, my goodness, Cody, it's like, what can you even hope for? What can you even want to see from the Broncos at this point? I think really ultimately all that they can do right now is look forward to making some massive, massive changes, you know, from the top down. And I know we're going to talk about that later, but as this game is concerned, it is the offense's issue. And we saw that frustration from the defensive side boil over a little bit.
We did. And look, just to make note here, at halftime, the Broncos only had 139 total yards of offense, which you mentioned, a 52-yard run by Latavius Murray that accounts for 52 of that 139. The other production was like 39 yards of that as well, came from Kendall Hinton. And then Cortland Sutton had a little bit of a big catch towards the end of halftime to get them into field goal range where McManus had missed it. But once again, just a first down. Denver can't do anything positive. Second down, they can't do anything positive on the offensive side of the ball. Third down, they're going backwards. They're having worse things happen. I mean, once again, the Broncos, I believe they finished this game very inefficient on third down. They only converted, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, two third down plays in this entire game, two or three, one or the other. But obviously, the efficiency is very low once again here. You mentioned Brian Burns. I mean, he had two sacks in this game, Sarah. You mentioned the strip sack. At first, we thought it was a batted pass that was up in the air that Eric Saubert put down on the ground, luckily. And then they ruled it a fumble because his arm wasn't coming forward. So they ruled it a sack. And I just tell you, they just, one thing would go right, two things would go wrong. I mean, that summarizes the Broncos season in a nutshell. And look, I just want to applaud Broncos country. They traveled well for this game. You know, looking around the stadium, there's nothing but orange jerseys, and there were a lot of no-shows in the stadium. A lot of Panthers fans didn't show up, but a lot of Broncos fans did. So, I mean, that's saying something. I even know that this team is sitting at 3-8. Broncos country still comes out and supports regardless. That's why we appreciate Broncos country here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast. But I felt one thing while watching this game, sir. Watching the Broncos offense, it feels like you're on the Titanic and you know that there aren't any lifeboats, because no matter how many things we talk about here on this podcast about the offense, well, if they go to the quick passing game, this may open things up. None of these things mattered for the Broncos in this game against the Carolina Panthers. And seemingly, when you look at this offense, a lot of the issues, as we talk about, it's not solely just on Russell Wilson. It's not solely just on Nathaniel Hackett. There's collective blame to go around. But the Broncos' solution, at least before the season began, to their offensive issues and woes was Russell Wilson. And he's a big part of that. That, I think, ultimately feels kind of the disappointment that we have when we're talking about covering this season, is that Russell Wilson was brought in to alleviate the issues you had previously. As a matter of fact, I mean, you can make an argument he's made them worse.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing, is like, we didn't think as of last year that it could possibly get worse, right? And now you add in a star quarterback and it's gotten much, much worse. And that is the brutal reality that Broncos fans are sitting in right now, Cody. And I think you and I will talk about this later in the week, because it's something that's for sure on my mind and maybe yours. But I think looking forward to next year, the Broncos are going to need to have a much better contingency in place if this kind of happens again with Russell Wilson, right? If he doesn't perform at a high enough level, I think we've seen across the league enough times now to be able to say that, okay, it's worthwhile to have a backup plan in place or to have contingencies in place. I mean, we've seen the Carolina Panthers, to their credit, I know that they haven't played the best of teams, but they're what now, 3-4 since Steve Wilks took over as the interim head coach after you fire Matt Rhule. We saw the Raiders have a bunch of success last year after firing Nathaniel Hackett. And I mean, on Sunday's action, we saw, you know, the New York Jets have a ton of success turning to Mike White when things were going really poorly with Zach Wilson. I'm not saying that the devil you don't know is always preferable to the devil you do know, but what I am saying is that if you put yourself in a position where you have contingencies in place, better contingencies, and all due respect to Brett Rypien, who won the backup job in the offseason, and Josh Johnson as well, who's a veteran player, I just think if the Broncos had somewhere that they could turn right now, they could legitimately say to Russell Wilson, look, you're gonna heal that lat. You're gonna heal whatever other injuries you've got going on and lingering right now, because he just doesn't look like the same guy. He doesn't look like the guy the Broncos, you know, we used to all dread having to face anytime they played the Seattle Seahawks or any other team for that matter, dreaded having to face Russell Wilson in Seattle. Why? Because he's one of the most accurate, one of the most, you know, smart quarterbacks in the NFL, and he just doesn't look that way for the Denver Broncos. He's not out there playing loose. He's not out there making plays. He's out there taking way too many hits. He's taking way too many sacks. He's not seeing the open receivers, Cody. And the receivers, when they are getting hit in the hands, they're dropping the ball. And Broncos country, that's not just Jerry Jeudy either. That's every receiver. It's Cortland Sutton. It was Kendall Hinton on that fourth down play in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's every single one of these guys. You can't even throw a touchdown to Greg Dulcich. He's getting called for stepping out of bounds when he got shoved out of bounds legally, apparently, by a Carolina Panthers player. I've heard of so many new rules this year, even, Cody, with how the Broncos have struggled to get into the end zone. So that's my monologue for the offensive struggles. As of right now, the state of things, it all comes back to the two guys that are most responsible, Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. Those two guys deserve all the blame right now, because really, they're the two architects of this whole thing.
And there's a valid argument to be made about that, the offense, where they're at, and maybe what changes could come. I know something we'll dive on a little bit later on today's episode of the show. But has the Broncos' offensive struggles impacted the defense to the point now where the war of attrition has finally set? And we talk about the Broncos' defense having rough back-to-back games here for the first time this season. You'll get that and much more on today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. But this episode of the show, our post-game report, is brought to you by Audible. And Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure that you're going to love. That's why you'll be able to find Block Forever available as a bonus episode on Locked On NFL right now. Block Forever is a brand new podcast with former NFL All-Pro Ryan Khalil and Audible. Khalil takes conversation about football to the next level. He gives football fans an insider's look at the game through the eyes of the greatest players and personalities of all time. Not to mention, Khalil also sits down with star players, coaches, and former pros across the league to get real about what happens on the field and behind the scenes, inside locker rooms, during team meetings, and back at the hotel. You also hear Christian McCaffrey talk about his love-hate relationship with fantasy football, and Juju Smith-Schuster give his most honest opinions on other players and positions around the league. Head over to Locked On NFL for a sneak peek of Block Forever, or catch the full series available anywhere you get your podcasts. Available everywhere now. Audible, get in the game. The Denver Broncos defense has been carrying a strong load of this Broncos team all throughout this year, but has the war of attrition finally set in? We saw a little bit of a glimpse of that in Sunday's loss to the Carolina Panthers as the Broncos dropped to 3-8 on the season. Just want to say thank you so much, Broncos Country, for tuning in and making Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day on your favorite audio podcasting platforms, or whether you watch on YouTube. Thank you so much for bearing with us during this season as we all had high expectations. Unfortunately, they have not panned out, and now we get to be in evaluation season pretty much the rest of the way. We'll have you covered through the NFL free agency and the NFL draft. You'll have coverage of your team every day, all year long here, Locked On Broncos. Sarah, I mean, you know, the Broncos defense has really been a bright spot of this team. They've given, I think, a lot of Broncos fans hope and optimism to stick it out through this season. However, I think the war of attrition has finally set in because the Broncos defense, they have struggled in back-to-back games. And coming into this matchup, Carolina, I mean, this was a battle between two of the worst offenses in the NFL, especially on third down. Denver did better defensively on third down in this game, but ultimately it didn't matter because the explosive plays impacted Denver in this game defensively. And we also saw a very prominent rising superstar in the NFL struggle in back-to-back games as well, and Patrick Surtain.
Yeah, and that's tough for him because, I mean, he's gone up against some good players. Obviously, Devontae Adams and DJ Moore, no slouches out there. DJ Moore kind of just proving that, man, when he has the ball put in his area, he can still be a very high-impact player in the NFL. Certainly a building block for the Panthers, and nothing to scoff at if you're Broncos country, but it is for Pat Surtain. It's something that he's going to take very personally, you assume, just because he has been so dominant. He hasn't been giving up those big plays. And that back-breaking play there late in the game, the big deep ball from Sam Darnold to DJ Moore. I mean, it was tough. It's tough to see because you know that he hates it. He showed his frustration right as the ball was being caught, basically. And it almost looked like DJ Moore kind of pushed off on him. He had such a great separation there right at the top of that route. So it was tough. And Pat Surtain, nobody's going to be harder on himself. And that's, I think, the case with any of these guys, right? I mean, it's going to be these players being more critical on themselves than anybody. And really, you know, they're just it's frustration all around because, like you said, Justin Simmons talked about it in the locker room after the game. I saw a video clip circulating around of him saying, like, look, as frustrated as everybody that's watching the game is, imagine us who are putting in the work to try and be better, to try to, you know, actually put in the work and go out there and execute these reps and play the game and to not be seeing the results. I mean, it's got to be driving them all nuts. And you saw Mike Purcell on TV, he walks right up to Russell Wilson after a defensive series and just started yelling. I wish we could know exactly what he said. Russell kind of said, you know, he said, let's effing go. And Russell said, I agreed with him. And, you know, who knows if that's exactly what was said or if there was more to it. We'll never know, probably. But at the same time, that kind of a thing, like, that's kind of what you... And I know that people don't want to see it this way. They want to see it as the defense is mad at Russell Wilson and they hate Russell Wilson, but it'd be no different than, you know, if you were going up to your brother or somebody like that, and you're like, dude, let's go. Like, enough screwing around. Like, it's time to, I mean, it's the same. If you don't have siblings or anything like that, it's tough to understand just that kind of comfortability that you have to be able to go and yell at somebody like that, because it looks from our perspective, like a teammate yelling at another teammate, and that's not really maybe necessarily, it's very founded, but it's not appropriate or whatever. But man, I think that Mike Purcell, every bit, you know, he has the right to go there and say, like, to his quarterback, like, let's go, let's get something going offensively.
Well, you know, the thing too about football is it's an emotional game. And I can tell you this, Sarah, and I don't know if a lot of Broncos fans understand, because I sometimes see comments, they're like, oh, these players don't care. I could tell you, being in the locker room after games, I mean, you could hear a pin drop after these losses, Sarah. You can see the frustration that these guys have, because they're coming out here and they're working their tail off, and they know these expectations are high, right? But it's not panning out. And that's the unfortunate reality, right? And I think that when you see stuff like you saw with the clip with Purcell going at Russ, there are also times as well, because we saw that in the press box. We saw the tweet and like, oh, so, you know, me with the binoculars, I'm looking the press box on the sideline. And then there was moments where Russ and Purcell, they're talking to each other on the sideline, not like bad, but like they got their helmet off and they're chatting for a brief moment during a special teams play. Like, it was something that was squashed. If it was anything hostile, it was squashed pretty quickly. It's an emotional game. But it's also at the same point, too, from an optic standpoint, I think everybody, especially the fan base, are like, all right, hey, this team is imploding in a sense. We'll dive a little bit deeper into that when we talk about the future of Nathaniel Hackett coming up here in just a moment. But I do think it is worth noting here at this point in time, the Broncos just, this is a game where the run defense, they struggled. I mean, they allowed over 160 yards on the ground between two backs to average over 4.8 yards per carry when Chuba Hubbard and Deontay Foreman. And all of a sudden, it's like Denver can't even get 2 yards consistently on a play. That, I think, ultimately is the most frustrating thing. Now, granted, hats off to Carolina. They have a really good defense. We knew that coming into this game. But the Broncos offense made things so much easier for Carolina in this game. And unfortunately, the Broncos back-to-back games are a defensive letdown. Guess who they have to play this upcoming week? Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens on the road. I'll be in Baltimore for that one as well, Sarah. Hopefully not more of the same as to what we've been seeing here on the show. And obviously with the post games, like just another loss talking about it. And Broncos country, feel free to vent as well. The YouTube comment section is the perfect place for you to vent. Make sure you keep all comments respectful towards other Broncos fans if they have a different opinion than you. But this is an open forum for that. Or you can tweet us on Twitter at Cody Rourke NFL, at Sarah Benninger, at Lockdown Broncos. But is this loss against the Carolina Panthers the one that does it for Broncos head coach Nathaniel Hackett? That's something we'll dive into on today's episode of Lockdown Broncos. But this episode of the show is brought to you by Prize Picks, and Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports that's done right. And with the Prize Picks app, you choose 2 to 5 players that you're focused on heading into the week, and these players, they'll have a projection that's set by Prize Picks, and you simply choose whether or not they will have more or less than their Prize Picks projection suggests, which could allow you to win 10 times your money on any entry. There's no competing against other people. It's just you versus the projections that are available. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKDOWN. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. If you deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Don't forget to enter promo code LOCKDOWN and sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. Will the Denver Broncos move on from head coach Nathaniel Hackett after this loss on Sunday to the Carolina Panthers? And could it be a spark that the Broncos need? Thank you so much, Broncos country, for tuning in. Make it Lockdown Broncos your first listen of the day every single day. We appreciate you so much. For all Denver Broncos news, content, coverage, this is the place to be every single day all year long. Sarah, my friend, this is a question I feel like we've been asking ourselves, and Broncos country simply been asking themselves for the last several weeks in particular. After this type of loss, after this type of performance by the Broncos, will they move on from Nathaniel Hackett? Now, we kind of talked about the whole Mike Purcell, Russell Wilson thing. And Mike Purcell postgame had said something along the lines of, you know, we're just trying to create a spark. Now, as it pertains to Nathaniel Hackett and his situation, right, we talk about sparks. And there's an analogy I want to make here. A spark can either create a wildfire or it can keep you warm. And the Broncos are in desperate need of staying warm at this point. And could they make a move? You alluded to earlier with the Panthers making a move from Matt Rhule to Steve Wilks, how it's given them a little bit of a boost. Is this what the Broncos do after this game against the Panthers? Could they maybe move to Ejiro Everett as the interim for the remainder of the season? And would it be a spark that you think would provide the Broncos with a little bit of life going forward towards the end of the year?
Well, I think it would, Cody, and you can't help but wonder. I mean, Nathaniel Hackett, he's a really nice guy. I think that you covering the team, anybody that I've seen that's covering the team will vouch for the fact that, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett is a good dude, and, you know, he deserves respect for that in the very least. Like, there's not just a lot of genuinely good people out there, but I think he's definitely one of those guys. He's a good guy, and I think that part of what comes with that, and this is, I'm not trying to throw out any assumptions here, Cody, but I'm just trying to read the situation a little bit. It could be that there's a little bit of people in the organization, players maybe on one side of the ball or maybe on both sides of the ball. Maybe they're noticing a little bit, is Nathaniel Hackett really willing to say the hard things to the $245 million man? And that's why Mike Purcell goes up and screams at him on the sideline, because is anybody else willing to do that? Or do people feel like they're on eggshells around Russell Wilson? I think that's one of those things that's like, okay, there have we been waiting 11 weeks or more for the ice to really be broken? Like, is Russ's celebrity so big that he's just not on the same level with his teammates? Like, we see some of the stuff on social media about like congratulating Jalen Virgil, but in the locker room, is it different? Like, is he one of the guys? And is that the play by Mike Purcell to go up to him after the defensive series? Is that to kind of just be like, look, man, like, you're one of us, like, get with it. Like, we're in this together. Like, you have to become one of us if you're not already. I mean, that's just how I'm kind of reading the situation, is maybe Nathaniel Hackett is not the type of guy. Maybe if things were going really well, he would be the perfect coach for Russell Wilson, just like he was for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay as an assistant there. But for Russell Wilson in Denver right now, somebody needs to, you know, kind of like you said, to create that spark, you got to be willing to, hey, either I'm going to start a wildfire or I'm going to keep myself warm. But one way or another, I've got to find a way to survive. So I've got to get the spark one way or the other. Is Nathaniel Hackett willing to do that? If not, I think somebody else in this locker room has to step up and be willing to do that, to be that voice that could say whatever needs to be said to Russell Wilson. Because it kind of, from my vantage point, it looked like Mike Purcell was trying to say something to him that nobody else is willing to say, that they've been like, oh, somebody's got to say this to Russ. Somebody's got to go up to Russ, you know, but they've been too afraid to do it. So maybe that's kind of something. I don't know. And again, that's totally not, I'm not saying that did happen or that is happening or that's what somebody said. That's just how I'm reading the situation.
I think the way that you're reading it has some validity to it. I 110%, right? Because Russ was the big time investment. You give this guy a contract extension without having even seen him play it down yet. He's going to command a lot of this money this upcoming year that, you know, can impact what you want to do free agency going forward. Obviously, we know the NFL draft impact. I will say, because I do see a lot of the revisionist stuff on Twitter, and we also see in the comments that they should have never made this trade. At the time, right, when the trade was to be made, we had no idea. Nobody did. Not one person in the world. Maybe Seattle. Maybe Seattle was onto something. Maybe Pete Carroll knew something that we all didn't know. But the reality of the situation is Denver made a move that we all thought, okay, hey, this is it. This is the game-changing move that's going to elevate the Denver Broncos. And quite frankly, now that we can sit here 12 weeks after the season, we can say, okay, this is simply not the reality. The Broncos, they're worse right now. They're worse with Russell Wilson than they were last year with Drew Lock or Teddy Bridgewater. And there's a multitude of things that go with that. But you are right with the position where Hackett is in. We know him as the positive guy. I've seen Hackett get on to guys at practice and be very firm and authoritative at times. I think he knows when to balance it. But when it comes to Russell Wilson, I'm not entirely sure Nathaniel Hackett can be that way towards Russ. Because as you mentioned, Russell Wilson is big. His presence is large. He's got the celebrity to him. He's got the status. And I think that might be a little bit too much for a guy like Nathaniel Hackett, who we all know and love as the positive and cheery guy. Unfortunately, this is a results-driven basis, and now Broncos country, they have completely soured not only just on Nathaniel Hackett, but also Russell Wilson. They both are catalysts of this, and they deserve a majority share of the blame. There's other things along the way that you and I have talked about, injuries, things like that, loss of impact players, that all have a little bit of a factor into it, but the architects of it, Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett. I think that presents a very interesting question. We'll find out. Obviously, Nathaniel Hackett is set to meet with the media on Monday at 3:15 at the UCL Training Center. I'll be there for that. We'll see if anything changes come Monday morning, Monday afternoon. I'll be on my flight back from Charlotte, but I should get back in the afternoon. And so we'll have a lot to talk about this week here.